Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is sponsored by the Biblical Church of God and is designed to bring you the answers for today's Christian living right from the pages of your Bible. Very soon now, on Easter Sunday morning, there are going to be thousands, if not millions, of people around the world who will get up very early and go out to have Easter sunrise services. And some of them do it very faithfully, whether it rains or whether it snows or whether the sun rises or whatever. And I remember one time when I was about 15 years old, I went out to one of these gigantic Easter sunrise services, and I thought that it was a thing that should be done. And I remember coming to the top of this hill, which was in a large park in the city of Seattle, and that's where I grew up. And I remember that it just was really quite a coincidence, and I saw all these thousands of people, and at the muttering of the priest, everyone bowed their heads. And then the priest, when the sun was rising, would raise a wafer of bread and hold it high in the air. And then all of the people would respond with some sort of ritual that they would go through, and they would cross themselves. And not being a very religious person at the time, I was curious as to what was going on, and I didn't learn until years and years later that what I actually observed was not a Christian ceremony, but a pagan ceremony. Did you know that Easter and Easter sunrise services are not Christian? Did you realize that? And did you realize that Christ has nothing to do with eggs? Did you realize that Christ has nothing to do with Easter? Well, let's look at the practice of sunrise service and let's see what the Bible says about it. And then let's examine some of the other practices that go along with Easter. And you will see that from the pages of the Bible and from the historical facts that I will bring, from historical sources which I will quote, that you will in fact see that Easter is not Christian. And more than that, the celebration of it is in fact pagan. And if people think that they can worship God in the ways that are pagan and say that we're delivered to do all of these things, well, then they better get their noses in their Bible and understand what God says. Here in Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, is a tremendous indictment and condemnation of the nation of Israel when they were worshiping the pagan deities, when they were worshiping Astarte, which is where the word Easter comes from today, when they were worshiping Tammuz, which was actually the predecessor of what is known as Good Friday. And God calls that an abomination in Ezekiel the 8th chapter. And he said to me, "Turn again and you shall see, Ezekiel, greater abominations that they do." And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Eternal's house, which is toward the north. And there sat women weeping for Tammuz. See, coming to the temple of God, trying to endorse these pagan practices, is the practices that God wants. But God never said he wanted that. God said, in fact, don't do those things. And yet people do it today, don't they? The very same thing. Now verse 15 of Ezekiel 8. And here God talks about sunrise services. Let's see what God says about that. How can you worship God when you worship the sun? And when you really know and can study in all of ancient history, and I don't care what book you go to, and I don't care what source you use, it is very replete in any historical documents, that all of the pagan gods looked to the sun as the main deity. And then I'll let you answer and figure out what day they worshipped their god on. But anyway, back to this sunrise worship service or sun worship. Ezekiel 8 and verse 15. And then he said unto me, that is God talking to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 8 and verse 15, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these." Now, God calls that sort of thing an abomination. And you know, men delight in their abominations, and men delight in asking God to endorse their abominations. So he brought me to the inner court, verse 16 now of Ezekiel 8, of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Eternal, between the porch and the altar. And this is right where men were supposed to come and worship God. We're supposed to serve God. We're supposed to look to the Eternal God, their Creator and life giver. But what were they doing? Right there at the temple of God, about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. And they worship the sun toward the east. Now that's what God thinks of sun worship. And that's what God thinks of Easter sunrise services. Now, don't get mad at me, because I didn't put it in your Bible. And all I'm doing is reading what is in the Bible. And if that somehow offends you because you think that you are right, then I challenge you to be honest with what you believe and prove me wrong. And if you can show me out of the pages of the Bible and history that we as Christians ought to observe Easter, believe me, I would do it. But I have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that that is not what God wants. And I have proved from the pages of the Bible that that is not what God wants us to do at all. I have proved from the pages of the Bible that is not what God wants us to do at all. As a matter of fact, let's look at some of the other practices that go along with Easter. How about eggs? Or the hot cross bun of Good Friday? And if Jesus were crucified on Friday, what's so good about that? And as a matter of fact, Jesus was not crucified on Friday. He was crucified on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. And he was in the grave 3 whole days and 3 whole nights. What do hot cross buns have to do with Good Friday? And what about the dyed eggs for Easter Sunday? Well, let's look at some historical sources, and I think you're going to be absolutely amazed. The buns. Alexander Hislop's Tremendous History, The Two Babylons, tells us about the paganization of Christianity with all of the ancient pagan abominable worship services and how they came into what has been traditionally called Christendom. Now, we can make it very pious, we can make it very nice, we can make it very religious, we can dignify it, sing hymns, and whatever the people do, but if it isn't what God said to do, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is, or pompous it is, or ceremonious it is, or how ritualistic it is, God isn't there. How about the buns? Everybody's going to have hot cross buns. And of course, you know, those were used in the worship of the Queen of Heaven, the goddess Ishtar. And that is 1,500 years before the Christian era. Now let's look at a place where God talks about that. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah the 7th chapter, and let's see what God says about making buns for the Queen of Heaven. And these are so-called sacred buns. And of course, that's quite the opposite of what God would want, because when you come to understand and know and realize what God intended for people to do during what the Bible says, the days of unleavened bread, and that is a time when Christians are to eat unleavened bread. Hot cross buns are leavened, puffed up. And of course, you might examine the whole question of where the cross came from and what does it mean and what does it symbolize. And I think you will be absolutely astounded if you would be honest with history and would be honest with the Bible and would be honest with what you believe, that much of what is called Christianity today is absolute rank paganism, just renamed. Here in Jeremiah 7, God talks about what the people in Jeremiah's time did. Verse 17 of Jeremiah 7. Do you see what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Well, how about that? Cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Do people worship someone in heaven called the Queen of Heaven? Do some people in the name of Christianity do that today? You know there are. And if you do, you may be in for a surprise. God condemns that sort of worship. He says, yes, to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Eternal? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Eternal God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. And you know, all God originally required of the people when he brought them out of the land of Egypt was to worship him, was to serve him, was to do what was right before God. And instead they went their way. Instead they worshiped the host of heaven. Instead they worshiped the Queen of Heaven. And they even used Easter eggs. Now where did Easter eggs come from? And what on earth do boiled, dyed, tattooed, colored chicken eggs supposedly laid by an Easter have to do with Jesus Christ? Now if you can tell me, honestly, let me tell you, truthfully, what history says. Again, to Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons, the origin of the Easter egg is just as clear. The ancient Druids bore an egg as the sacred emblem of their order. And then he shows a picture of it with a snake wrapped around an egg. In the Mysteries of Bacchus is celebrated in Athens, continuing on now with Hislop's Two Babylons. One part of the nocturnal ceremony consisted in the consecration of an egg. The Hindu fables celebrate their mundane egg as a golden color. The people of Japan make their sacred egg to have been brazen. In China, at this hour, and he wrote this in the latter part of the 19th century, dyed or painted eggs are used on sacred festivals, even as in this country, and he lived in England. In ancient times, eggs were used in the religious rites of the Egyptians and the Greeks, and were hung up for the mystic purposes in their temples. And there are some quite histories about the mystic egg of the Babylonians. And here's the story of it. Quote, an egg of wondrous size is said to have fallen from heaven into the river Euphrates. The fishes rolled it up to the banks, where the doves, having settled upon it, and hatched it, out came Venus, and afterwards was called the Syrian goddess, that is, Astarte. Now you know why it is called Easter? It is one of the symbols of Astarte, or Ishtar, the pagan goddess, the Queen of Heaven. So if you think that you do God service, if you think that you are worshiping God by participating in a pagan ceremony, then maybe you had better check the pages of your Bible. Maybe you had better rethink the entirety of your religion and find out whether, in fact, you are a Christian according to the pages of the Bible. Because the Christian ceremony of the Passover then becomes meaningful when you understand that. And then become something that's pleasing to God when you understand that. Did you know that the name Easter only appears in the Bible once in Acts 12 and verse 4 and is known to be a mistranslation? But that the word originally in the Greek was Pascha or Passover, which has to do with the true day of worship that God set aside? And did you know that in a tremendous book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Let me encourage you to get this book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And you can either check this out of your library or you can buy it at a bookstore. And if you can't find out anything about it or check it out at the library, you can just write me, Fred Coulter, and we will put you in touch with publishers who will be able to procure the book for you. Now, we do not have this book, nor do we offer it in the way of our literature. I've read quotes from it, and we will quote in our literature the things that are written here, but I think it is highly important that everyone who thinks that they are worshiping God really understand that it cannot be done through the worship of Ishtar. Ishtar, in fact, really is another name for the Babylonian goddess Astarte, and is worshipped along with Bel, and as a matter of fact, is a part of the ancient worship of Baal. Did you know that? Did you understand that? Did you realize that? Have you ever understood that Easter is not Christian? You know, God tells us that we should follow Him, that we should obey Him, that we should worship Him, that we should do what He says. And nowhere does God command us to observe Easter. As a matter of fact, we find in the Old Testament something very important concerning what the Israelites got into in the way of their pagan worship in worshiping Baal. And of course, during that time, they had Easter, they had Christmas, they had New Year's, they had all of the pagan worship, even by the people of God who rejected God and were paganized and apostatized. Here in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, there was a controversy between Elijah, the prophet of God, and Ahab, the king of Israel. And Ahab said to Elijah, "Are you the one that troubles Israel?" And Elijah said, "I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of God and you have followed Baal." And then Elijah gets very strong, and this really is a message for us today. Do you want to follow God or do you want to follow Baal? Do you want to do what God says and those things that please Him? Or do you want to do as these Israelites did back in 1 Kings 18? So Elijah came to the people now, 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, and he said to them, "How long halt you between two opinions?" You know, and there are a lot of people who say, "Well, it doesn't make any difference. Well, it's quaint, it's nice, it's interesting, it's good, it's fine, it's marvelous, it's fun for the kiddies. And after all, Easter bunnies, and what does it have to do with Christ? And Easter eggs, and what does that have to do with Christ? That's fun for the kiddies. But let me ask you a question. Is it good to lie to your children? Is it good to lie and tell children that the Easter bunny laid these or brought these when he didn't? And it's really the sign of the fertility rite of the goddess of Babylon called Astarte. And are you not following then a Babylonian worship of which Baal worship in Israel became the descendant of that?" So God says, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him." And of course, the people didn't answer a word. You ought to read this in 1 Kings 18. This is really quite a tremendous account. So then Elijah said, "All right, I'll make you a deal. Let's get two bullocks and let the 450 prophets of Baal choose one and I'll choose the other. And they can go ahead and get the wood and cut it and put it in pieces, put a fire under it, and put the bullocks on there, and then I'll do the same after you're done." Then verse 24 of 1 Kings 18, and Elijah said, "And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Eternal, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "Now that's good, let's go ahead and do that." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You choose one of the bullocks for yourself, and you dress it first, for you are many, and you call upon the name of your gods, and put no fire under it." So they took the bullocks which was given to them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now just picture this in your mind. Here they are saying, "O Baal, hear us." Now really, the lesson for us today is, do you think that God will hear you when you try and worship him on one of the days of Baal? Now, maybe you think that's an exaggerated statement. Maybe you think that, are you hearing this person say what he's saying? You are. And I might ask you a question then. How far from the reality of the truth of the Bible are you, and is your religion? And you know, you really need to prove your religion, whether it is indeed from the Bible, or whether it is one of these mythical counterfeits that has been accepted as Christendom or Christianity. Well, let's go back to this account in 1 Kings 18 about Baal worship, because you see, Easter is in fact Baal worship. And so all the prophets of Baal cried from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." There wasn't a voice nor any answer. And they leaped up on the altar which was made. So then it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he's a god." Now either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till blood gushed out upon them. No answer yet. So it came to pass, when noonday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any to regard. Now you think about that in trying to amalgamate some of the pagan days with Christianity. Do you think God is in it? Do you think that God is going to give his glory to another? Do you think that God is going to give his glory to Baal? Now then Elijah went ahead and he did something very spectacular, as it were, but humble and simple. Because remember, he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Eternal be God, then serve him, and if Baal be God, then serve him." And here was a test, and recorded for us in the Bible, so that we would know that the Eternal God, he is God, and not Baal. So then it came time for Elijah to go ahead and offer the bullocks, put it on the altar. So he put it there, and then he had them pour water on it three times until the water ran down around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And then Elijah did something very simple, and God showed who was God. Remember, the contest was the one who answers by fire, he is God. And it came to pass at the time of the evening offering or sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done these things at your word. Hear me, O Eternal, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Eternal fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now God showed clearly he was God. Now do you believe that God is God? Do you believe that you can worship God after the ways of Baal any more than the people there could worship God after the ways of Baal? The Bible clearly says that you won't go after those gods and say, "Well, now how did they worship and serve their gods? Even so, I will do likewise unto the Lord your God." No way. God will not do it. As a matter of fact, you can search the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will find no commanded assembly for sunrise services on Easter. You will find no commanded assembly for Christmas. And of course, some of the other days that are observed by Christendom, you won't find them there, because God never required them. How did that come to be? How did that take place? How could it be that all of these things that are supposedly Christian, which are really pagan, came into the church, and now it is pagan, down to all the days that they observe? You know, God shows that the Sabbath and the holy days of God are the sign of his people. And so likewise, the days of worship that are for Baal show who that religion belongs to. In Revelation 17, here is a tremendous prophecy about a great false religious organization, a church, looking to be religious, looking to be Christian, but as a matter of fact, has its roots clear back to ancient Babylon. And in the vision prophecy given to the Apostle John in Revelation 17 in verse 4, and the woman, which is symbolic of a church, and there is a true church of God, and there are those people who worship God in the right way, who keep the days of God that are listed in the Bible, and know the meaning and significance of those days, who understand what this prophecy is, and who know what this is talking about. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And this is the kind of spiritual adultery, the mixing of paganism with supposedly Christianity. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Yes, the Babylonian mystery religion. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Does your religion come from the Bible, or does it come from Babylon? Do you worship the true God, or do you worship a counterfeit Baal? Now, your salvation depends upon that. And that's why with the program Bible Answers, we encourage you to read your Bible, to study your Bible. Now, to help you with that, we have a magazine called Bible Answers, which we cover up-to-date articles concerning prophecy. This coming article is devoted to what the Bible calls the Passover, which is the true ceremony of which Easter is a counterfeit. What about the Passover? Why is Jesus Christ called our Passover, and what is the lesson for true Christians? Why did God have to die? Why did God have to come to this earth in the form of a human being and die and then be in the grave 3 days and three nights and be resurrected again? You need to know. You need to get on our mailing list, and you need to listen to these programs every week, and we will cover vital topics that are timely, that are up to date, to show you the truth of the pages of your Bible. Until next time, the same time, same station, this is Fred Coulter saying goodbye, everyone.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.